Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Underground, overground, wumbling free. The Wombles of Wimbledon, common are we. Making good use of the things that we find. Things that the everyday folks leave behind. Uncle Bulgaria, we can remember the days when he wasn't behind the time.
3Z does it. Joe Piggott's opener at Priestfield last Saturday, cancelled out by Reagan Charles Cook, but 3 minutes later, a winner by Callum Riley gave AFC Wimbledon their third away win of the season in League One, lifting them very, very clear of those relegation spots. Those three relegation spots, of course, in League One this season. Yes, Tranmere might have a couple of games in hand. Yes, Rochdale might have a game in hand. But AFC Wimbledon just edging away from that bottom three in fine fashion, of course, beating a Gillingham side who had gone 15 games unbeaten in League One under Steve Evans. A fantastic performance from the guys. And, of course, a goal for Joe Piggott on 101. We mentioned his 100th of the appearance of the season last week. We are going to keep going with this. I think next week it will be 102, won't it? I like the sound of that jib. I'll tell you what else I like. It's the fact that tonight there is a Plough Lane Bond celebration evening going on at the Batsford Arms, and we are going to go live to there right now because Kevin Boras from the 9 Years podcast is on the line. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you, mate. Great to have you on the line. I'm glad you're not in the studio this evening because there are certainly more important matters to be attending. Talk me through what's happening tonight.
Basically, the Bond, it's to celebrate the fact that we've, as a fan base, we've raised almost £5.4 million in a month, and it's to keep the Bond going because it has actually slowed to the point. I think a couple of days ago there was nothing. So it's the first day, I think, since we started it that we've actually had no extra money coming in. So it's a good way of raising awareness. We've also got some press have been here. We're here doing the live interviews, which we'll be doing in a minute. We've got a whole host of people lined up. And we've had some players have come along. We've got some ex-managers, the current managers, coaching staff, directors, and some very well-known fans that we'll be speaking to shortly. It's just a celebration of what we've done. Because one thing we don't do as fans is we don't ever really look back and talk, or take a step back and see what we've done as a fan base. We just happily go along making the impossible possible, and then today we're stepping back, we're looking at what we've done, and we are celebrating our achievement, which, as British people, we also don't do very well.
So how many, how many people do we have in attendance, Kevin? It sounds, I've read from the reports already from the event, around 200 cramming in to the Batsford Arms. Of course, Alan Batsford, a former Wimbledon manager, of course, there's some greats there. Terry Brown has already made a speech, the likes of Peter Fear, Will Nightingale, of course, Anthony Hartigan, current players there, Jack Rudoni there as well. Must be great to be in attendance of some Wimbledon royalty.
It's great because, I mean, it said I've been going to Wimbledon since 1978, and there's people here that have been going since the 50s and the 60s, even 40s. Mick Pugh, who was one of our first grounds when we moved to King's Meadow, he started going in 1957. So he's been here. Mick is in charge of the former players or old players association, and it was great to hear from him. And there's so many ex-players that are sending good luck messages and goodwill messages. The fact that I think we're on a roll here, I think we've always had goodwill as AFC Wimbledon since we started. Maybe less in the old days of Wimbledon FC at Plough Lane and Sellers Park. There wasn't a huge much amount of goodwill because of the style of football we played. But I think we've just kind of captured the imagination. We've proven that, you know, people are good. It's a strange world we live in with political situation in various countries and viruses and all kinds of stuff, and then hate crimes and all kinds of stuff going on. But it's proven that there are good people around, and here we are amongst them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an incredible turnout from the guys, an incredible effort from AFC Wimbledon fans. It sounds quite rowdy where you are, Kevin, so we'll let you go in a minute, but we'll quickly get on to the Gillingham game. I believe George Jones joins us as well now. Hello, George.
Hi, Matt, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks, mate. Great to have you on the line. Let's quickly get through the game with Gillingham. I'll let you guys get into your crowds there and start getting some interviews going. But a big win on Saturday against the Gills.
Yeah, no, it was a huge win. It was a really good performance from all the boys involved. Really impressed with Joe Day, Luke O'Neill, Terrell Thomas, all were good. So the person who impressed me most was Anthony Hartigan. I don't know about you, Kevin, but for me, Anthony Hartigan was a contender for man of the match.
And we're not just saying that because he is actually standing 8 feet, 9 feet away from us currently, or 3 metres in George's language. He's very close to us. Sorry, Anthony, we're not blowing smoke towards you. You were very good. He did a great game. Obviously, he had a bit of dipping form. He had some, you know, a couple of off-field things that affected him quite badly and understandably. And he came back and he pretty much ran that game, especially in the first half. He was fantastic. But it was, there's something about beating a Steve Evans team at his home club, whichever club that is at the time, is very, very satisfying. And we came away from that ground, we were wet, we were cold, we were surprised that we'd beaten the team that hadn't lost since we beat them on the 23rd of November. Longest unbeaten run in the Football League, obviously not getting Liverpool, because it's not a Football League. It was just one of those days where we did everything right. You couldn't pick a player that wasn't at least 7 out of 10. It's just a great day out. And beating Steve Evans, watching him flail his arms around for the entire 90 minutes was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it certainly was, of course, massive to get that win. And I tell you what, gents, I think you're going to like this next snippet because we did the League One post-match fan show on Saturday shortly after the game. And Kevin, you've often spoken about the dark arts in football and the fact that certain teams do employ them. And maybe, just maybe, at some point, AFC Wimbledon might need to adopt them, not in a, you know, in an unfair fashion, of course, but in a way to maybe try and get those wins over the line. We had Darren Stock from the Jills in the Blood Injury Time podcast on the show. It's fair to say he wasn't overly happy with the tactics adopted by your beloved Dons.
I went to the away fixture back in November and spoke to yourselves, and I wasn't quite sure how we'd lost that game then. Today, I can understand how we've lost it, but my opinion of Wimbledon hasn't changed from the away fixture. Their management team don't like the way that they conduct themselves, and some of their players need to take a look at themselves as well, especially ex-Jill Scott Wagstaff, who seems more interested in getting one over on us than his own team. I've always admired Wimbledon over the years, known a few people that support Wimbledon, but from the fixtures that I've seen this season, and especially with Glyn Hodges in charge, they seem to be a different kettle of fish. Like I said to you in November, Steve Evans gets a lot of stick. Sometimes it's deserved for the way he conducts himself, but for me, I think Hodges and his management staff, even his physio, seemed to conduct themselves a lot worse. And as I said, ex-Jill Scott Wagstaff berating the ref in the ref's face, complaining about everything. They're down on the ground, the physio's coming on every few minutes, and it's not pretty to see. And if I was a Wimbledon fan, I wouldn't want to be watching that week in, week out. And I think it is a real shame because, like I said, they're a club that I've admired what they've done over the years in starting from the bottom and working their way back up. But for me, it's kind of tainted at the moment for the two fixtures I've seen. And some of the players they've got, I don't really like the way that they conduct themselves.
So that was Darren Stock from the Jills in the Blood Injury Time podcast. Kevin, I've got to say, I couldn't believe it when he told me that. I was like, is this the same AFC Wimbledon that I speak to Kevin and George about week in, week out? Can't be true.
It's not. He must have gone to the wrong ground.
That's what I thought.
And seen a completely different game. Anyone who supports Steve Evans' team and criticises the antics of the other team's management has watched the wrong game, basically. But having said that, we are toughening up a bit. We've always said that from day one, we're a bit too nice. Under Neil Ardley, again, lovely man, great manager for us, we played nice football in a nice way. Under Wally Downs, we didn't play nice football in a nice way. And under Glyn, we're kind of somewhere between the two. But Glyn was a very, very skillful, almost luxury player, but knew when to leave his foot in. Let's put it that way. And I think that's how we play. The fact he's complaining that Scott Wagstaff has complained to the referee. Well, what player doesn't do that? That's ridiculous. I'm not going to give that guy's comments any further. I think I may have met him at the EFL on Quest Day. I think that's the guy I met. I will not comment any further. George, the reason I'm talking is that George is on the floor laughing and beating the floor with his fist.
I thought you'd like that, George, because I do think that, listen, as fans, we like to have a bit of a battle against each other. We also like to have a bit of a friendly rivalry. But those comments, I thought I would play because I thought it would be interesting for you guys to hear, primarily because you've often spoken about, like I said, those dark arts in a sense, and Wimbledon maybe being too nice at times in games. But this is showing, perhaps from an opposing fan's perspective, that maybe that isn't always the case.
Yes, it's not. And I think there was an element of sort of aggravation on the touchline between our physio, Stuart Douglas, Glyn, Nichols, Ashley Bates, pretty much everyone in our dugout was getting into it with a bit with Evans. But that's because he's such an easy character to get into and no one likes him. It's as simple as that. That's why, you know, everyone was a bit of an aggro sort of on the touchline. Really, it was good to see because, as Kevin said, it's that fire, it's that passion, that energy on the touchline. Get, you know, opposition fans booing our manager. I like seeing that, and we're starting to see that under Glyn when we haven't seen that under any other Wimbledon manager before.
Good stuff, gents. Well, it was a massive win, like I said, ending a 15-game unbeaten run for the Dons against Gillingham last weekend. I'll let you get back to your business. We'll come back to you very shortly. Looking forward to seeing what you've got in store for us. This is the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show. Kevin Boris and George Jones from the 9 Years podcast aren't in the studio today. They are at the Batsford Arms, ploughing around, pardon the pun, trying to get interviews from various ex-players, various managers, maybe a current manager too, on that plough lane Bond celebration, or the liftoff event as it is called. We'll come back to them very soon. Stick with us on the
Love Sport.
It's the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show here on Love Sport, the station giving fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. We've also got the ploughlanebond.com covered because it is a liftoff event at the Batsford Arms this evening. Great to see everyone in attendance. We've got Kevin Boris and George Jones basically acting as roving reporters for us this evening. They are in and around the pub just trying to get quotes, trying to get comments, trying to get interviews, trying to get vox pops from the fans in attendance. We're going to go over live to Kevin now to see what he's got for us. Hello, Kevin.
Thanks, Matt. And you've joined me here at Tunnel 267, the Batsford Arms. And I've been joined by Xavier Wiggins and Damien Woodward, two of the drivers of the Plough Lane Bond. And the reason we're here, let's talk briefly. Zav, A, on behalf of all Wimbledon fans, to both of you and to Charlie, who we'll talk to in a minute, thank you very much for doing this. But what drove you to do this in the first place? This is not a small undertaking. This is a huge thing you've done. What got you to that point where thinking, no, this isn't going to work, we need to do something different, and this is that different thing?
I think we've said this in the media before, but it's a point that I like. So we needed to raise some funds. We went to the owners to get those funds, and the best way we could think of getting the funds was via a bond. We were impressed with the club and the trust and the legal support and helping us get the bond up so quickly. And since then, it's been a brilliant collective effort with you know, 100 people, 150 people involved, be it administration, be it in leafleting, all over the bond. Everyone's been, the media have really taken to it, and we've had some really good people pushing the media side of it. We've had coverage in pretty much all of the main newspapers, broadcast media, etc. So it was something that I guess we felt that it was a fairly obvious thing to do. We needed to go and raise more money, so let's go and do it ourselves.
I got to that point where I was explaining what had happened the other week to someone who's not a football fan, and I explained that we raised £5.4 million in under a month, and I explained the history of the club. And the person I was talking to said, that sounds like the plot of a film. That sounds ridiculous. And it kind of is, isn't it? But I said that we've, as a club, we've made the impossible possible twice now, or maybe four times already. And it's just explaining it to somebody else made me realise just how extraordinary this is. So how do you feel about it, Damien, as someone who's actually been behind it, driven the thing from the club?
Well, I mean, I think you describe it well, which is, you know, Wimbledon rewrites the script.
Yeah.
And this isn't the first time we've done it, and I'm sure it won't be the last time we will as well. I was on the show a few weeks back, right at the beginning. I think, I can't remember, we got to the first million or we were somewhere around that, and really trying to call people to action. And I guess to kind of Xavier's point, I mean, I, I'm so impressed with the way that everyone has mobilised. You know, it took a little bit of a while to get going. It took a little bit of a while for the message to get sown. This isn't, you know, there was a dialogue that needed to change from the SGM in December, and it took a while to get that changed. And kind of once, you know, we always felt if we got over 2 million, this thing was absolutely going to roar. And once we got to that point, sure enough, it kind of built and built and built. So, yeah, look, we're delighted with where it's got to. We are pushing hard to still get into 7.5 because that does make a meaningful difference to the club. But also to use this positivity as an agenda for change in terms of making sure we never end up as a club back in the position that we did, and understanding kind of what happened to get us there and therefore what we need to do differently.
But are you two as surprised as I am, and in a good way, that the total is up to almost £5.4 million? As part of my WhatsApp group, the 90s podcast, we guessed to 2 decimal points how much we'd raise.
Yeah.
Mine was the highest guess at 3.37 million. I don't think anybody else is over 3. And I've never been this pleased to be massively wrong by something, but I'm £2 million out, and I'm still the highest guess. So are you too surprised at even the fact that you've been behind it all the way, that we've actually got to this level?
I think the way it picked up towards the end was incredible. I mean, the refreshing, there must have been 1,000 people refreshing every few minutes, and you know, 500,000 on the 13th of Feb, 500,000 and a bit more on the 14th of Feb. That was incredible. I know it sounds really cliche to say it, but you can't ever be surprised with what we do at Wimbledon, and some of the work that has gone into this from a very, very broad range of people. I think we were all fairly surprised. My prediction was 4.2 million. I felt we'd hit that by Valentine's Day. At the beginning of it, in the first couple of weeks, I thought I've over-egged it, but then it really picked up a momentum. We got, you know, once we got the national media really, really on board, I think everyone started to believe in it.
Yeah.
And even what filled me with joy was seeing the comments from real cynics at the beginning of this process turning and you know, receiving letters and emails from them saying, you know, we got it wrong. We were skeptics. Yeah, I think everyone's there's always going to be some skeptics and things like this.
Yeah.
But I think by the end, I think we pretty much silence. But, you know, and we as a big group of people, we pretty much silence everybody on it. You know, but we've got to kick on. Well, for me now, 5.35, it's not enough. Like, we have to, you know, we've it's difficult for people to hear because people heard that 3 million would make a big difference. Well, guess what? It did. People then heard that 5 million would make a big difference. Well, do you know what? That did too. Still don't have the rest of the 11 million. So we sure as hell have got to do our bit to get even closer to that if we possibly can through a bond.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, I sent the Marcus Mumford video to a friend of mine who bought a bond because Marcus Mumford's video made him cry. And I won't tell you who the friend is, not a football fan, a sport fan, not a football fan. He said, oh, I'll watch it. And then he said, I couldn't not after that. So thank you, Marcus, for making my friend cry for the first time since his wife left him. But hey, this is not a radio programme I'm going to talk about now. So, Damien, you're looking at maybe hopefully getting, the new goal is 7.5 million by the 14th of May. It's possible, isn't it? Because you'd think any other club, any other fans, it's impossible. But it's actually possible.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we wouldn't have put it out there just you know, because as I always said, there's a certain resonance around 7.5 million that everyone will understand. But no, we believe we can get there. And I think there's a few more bits I think that need to come together to allow that, because I do think that when people hear what the rest of the financing package is, that there's a clear call to action to get to that 7.5, you know. And I go back to the point where, you know, at the moment it's 1,800 people that have got us to this point in time, and at least a third of those people are from other football clubs and other places. So that suggests to me there's still two-thirds of our own fan base to find from 50 quid with the We Are Wimbledon fund to put into the bond and play their part. And, you know, I think that's what I say to people, and I, of course, everyone has their own circumstances, but look each other in the eye and say, look, when it came to call, did I do my bit? Because my bit can be from 50 quid.
Yeah, absolutely. So Damien, Xavier, again, thank you for keeping the fan ownership dream alive. I think we've done it. It's a hugely impressive task that's been undertaken and achieved. The word success gets used incorrectly, in my opinion. This is a success, isn't it? So thank you very much indeed. Matt, back to you, but we have Charlie Talbot is going to be on the show later on. Ivor Heller, at least one player, we think one member of the management team, and a celebrity, which I cannot name, is arriving later on, and he'll be on the show as well, and we'll try and get him to maybe buy a bond live. How about that?
How about that indeed? Yes, I like the sound of that, Kevin. Great work, by the way. Great work from Kevin Boras there with Xavier Wiggins and Damien Woodward, of course, the pair who came up with the bond in the first place. Glyn Hodges at the Batsford Arms as well, doing a great speech, talking about doing jobs at Plough Lane in his teenage years. As Kevin said there, we've got plenty more coming up. Hopefully, he's roaming around and found some more guests. Yes, we've got the nod. Apparently, he's speaking now to a few members of the Don's Trust. Is that right, Kevin?
Different parts of the club. We've got Graham Stacey from the Don's Trust board. Hi, Graham.
Hi, how do you do?
Kevin Foster, the manager of the ladies' first team.
Hi, how are you?
Andy May, who is from the AFC Wimbledon Foundation.
Hello there.
And we have Hannah, who's the captain of the ladies' first team.
Hiya.
So, now, we're not talking to first team players or management, but you're all from different parts of the club, all very important. So I'm going to start with Graham. Newly elected Don's Trust board member.
Yep.
So, not that so, we're both in the same industry.
Yes.
In terms of journalism and media. We're kind of cynical. We start off from the cynical point of view.
Yep.
Did you genuinely think we could raise this much money in this short space of time? Be honest.
In this short period of time, I'm not sure. I was very confident. I thought the idea was great. I backed it at the beginning as worth a try. And you aim for the sky, don't you? But of course, I am amazed at how well it's done. I am so happy at well it's done. And the job's not done yet. It's not over. I think there's some way to go to get us back to Plough Lane. But phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
But as a newly elected board member and as a long-time supporter, what does it mean to you as a person? Forget putting aside the club stuff, but you as Graham Stacey, the person, as a fan, must mean a lot to, you know, I know you're slightly younger than me, but it means
Thank
a lot
you.
To go back to that sort of the mecca of football for us.
Oh, it means everything. I think it was the first ground I went to. I went there as a very young child. I remember being scared. I think they were probably... I thought there were Wombles under the stand, and I think there were probably mice.
Were there not?
Stuff. There might have been.
Don't say there wasn't. There
I was told sure. at the time there were. So you know, why not? Why not? But it was amazing, and then, you know, I grew up going there. I was still young when we moved, so I am quite old actually. I'm giving
but
it away.
Still younger than me. No, don't rub it in.
But it means everything. It's our spiritual home, and that's everything. We set up again to create Wimbledon's football club. And to have Wimbledon's football club playing anywhere at Wimbledon is not on. We're a fans' own club. We're playing Wimbledon, and that's everything. So couldn't be happier.
And you look happy too. Thank so you. Let's go to Andy. So Andy, you're from the foundation of
yes.
the Wimbledon Foundation. So what can moving to a new ground, a purpose-built ground for us, what can that do for the foundation that you can't do at King's Meadow or anywhere else?
It's going to be a massive impact for us. So it's going to be a community hub that we can base around all our sessions, so either educational sessions, health sessions, social inclusion sessions, and even just like local school kids sessions. For us, we have a massive impact in Wandsworth already. We're confident in what we've done in Wandsworth will have an impact in our attendances. But it will allow us to have a massive impact in Merton at the same time. Merton's been quite a stronghold of the Merton School Sports Partnership, but we're just hoping that stadium will have an impact for us within Merton, local primary schools, secondary schools especially at the same time.
So if we let's jump forward to 5 years' time. Yeah. We've been in the new ground for the best part of 5 years. What do you think you could have achieved in that 5 years, again, that you couldn't achieve now?
I think a lot of it is just kind of giving local school kids the opportunity to watch regular football. A lot of, especially in Wandsworth and Merton, you've got a lot of Chelsea and Fulham. And giving them the opportunity to go and watch regular football. We have the opportunity now. So we have 20 match day tickets that we're allowed to give out. Bernie Coleman is what we give out as. But just the impact of a bigger capacity, a bigger stadium, will just allow us to offer more tickets and more kids at the same time. We've already been having conversations. We've already loads of Wandsworth schools that have actually contacted us already asking for match day tickets and match day experiences. So in that sense, in terms of what we're doing in Wandsworth, it's massive. It will then allow us to push it more into Merton. Offering match day experiences for kids is vital. And that's how I started as a Wimbledon supporter. Did a summer holiday course in my local area in Tolworth, got given a free ticket to a Wimbledon game, and then started becoming a Wimbledon supporter from there. So we're hoping that that impact that I had as a kid, that we could offer to the same kids at the same time.
So we're looking to get the new era of Andy Mays, basically.
Maybe better than Andy Mays, yeah.
Well, okay. Well, let's pump yourself up a bit. So you've done great work for the club. So yeah. It's not just going to continue, it's going to escalate.
Yeah, definitely. As I said, the Wandsworth area, we've been quite fortunate. A guy called Nick Miller, who's a massive Wimbledon supporter, he's our Wandsworth School Games organiser. So kind of getting into Wandsworth and having an impact in the local schools has been quite easy for us. We've hosted tournaments year after year, Kids Cup tournament, which has grown year after year. We had 40 primary schools across Wandsworth, Merton, Kingston and Sutton. So we've kind of expanded our boroughs at the same time, which is massive for us as a foundation.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for that. So, now talk to the ladies' first team. So, Kevin, what do you think is going to be the benefit for you guys from the club moving to... OK, Kings Meadow is our ground, but it's not in Merton. It's not... It doesn't feel like... It's never felt like home.
I think it's hugely important that AFC Wimbledon have their own identity. The links with the Don's Trust, who massively support us. We work more and more with the foundation over the last few years, and I think just to have that one place that we can all say, this is where we belong, this is where we're part of, is a huge, huge selling point, and it's what we deserve, and it's what people want to see a community hub for all three strands, really.
Yeah, sure. So, turning to you, Hannah, as a player, as a captain, are you going to get the chance to play at the new ground as your regular home? That's the question that people have been asked me before, is are the ladies going to be sort of on a level footing?
Yeah, so we're hoping to. I think it's looking that way for the future. And obviously on behalf of all the ladies and all the girls, we're really excited to have that chance to actually play alongside with the same ground as the men's team and again, be that big AFC family, which we're all hoping for. And thanks to everyone that's got involved and thanks to actually making a dream come true for everyone. So
the other good thing as well, I suppose, that we can be seen as standard bearers. I was talking today on Sky of about the prize money in women's football compared to men's, and then the prizes are ridiculous for a non-league team who are knocked out of the FA Cup in the first qualifying round, get more than the ladies side who win the women's FA Cup, which just sounds ridiculous. But if we can put this on an even footing, that the ladies team are considered as equal members of the club, which it should be the case, and if we can do that, that's a fantastic thing for the community and for future Hammers, basically.
Yeah, exactly. It's a massive step in football for the women to actually be playing at the men's ground. Even Chelsea women, they're not playing at Stamford Bridge. Yeah. So for Wimbledon women to be playing at the same ground as Wimbledon men, it's a massive step for not just AFC, but for women's football in general, and especially for all the girls that are growing up to hopefully play for the ladies team one day.
Well, that's the point that we talked about with the men's first team. If you're 12 years old and you've got the choice of going to Fulham or Brentford or Wimbledon, you're going to come to our club because you can see Will Nightingale and Anthony Hardigan and Jack Radoni and Jack Madeline in the first team, captain of the first team. They actually get the chance to actually play first team football. If they go to Fulham or Brentford, all respect, they won't. Look at Chelsea, they're only picking young English players now because they've had to, let's be fair. So is that the same with the ladies? So a 10-year-old girl who's good at football, rather than thinking I'm never going to make it, they actually can see they can.
Definitely, we've got such a good channels through to the ladies team. They see us, we're quite affiliated with the girls teams, we train sort of the same places.
We're hugely fortunate. So if you looked at our team now, we've got Cheesy that's been, actually she worked for the foundation, and she's been with us since she was 10 years of age and now she's 24. Rosie Russell has been at the club since she was 9 and she's now 18. And you know, Charlotte Flood, who's 17 now, she's been at the club since she was 15. So there's always opportunities. And what we want as a women's Wimbledon team is we want girls that are in the local area. That's who we want playing for the first team, because we want people understanding what Wimbledon Football Club's about and as a community what it's all about, really.
I came up with a rather sad cliche. It's not just building a stadium, we're building a future. Do you agree with that? Is that what we're doing?
Absolutely. As I said, fan-owned in Wimbledon. Beyond that, it's all about the community. We've always been a family club and a community club. The things we can do, well, you said you had a monopoly on the cliches, but we can change lives. You know, little kids looking up to role models, like, as you said, Will, who was here earlier. I can't think of many better role models that I want my children to look up to. It's all about the community, really, and being in the heart of Wimbledon is the basis for that.
Well, I've said it very often, and I'm boring myself with it, but we've specialised in making the impossible possible for the last 45 years, since the mid-70s. a non-league team winning at a first division club away from home in the FA Cup. No one had done that before. We set precedents for years, and we continue to do it. So thank you for all your part in continuing that dream, keeping it alive. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Kevin Boris, thank you very much. He's doing a sterling job there, isn't he, Kevin? Just acting as a Lost Sport roving reporter today at the Batsford Arms. It is the Plough Lane Bond liftoff event. Around 200 in attendance just to celebrate the more than £5 million-plus pounds that the club, that the Dons Trust, have managed to raise now as they bid to return home to Plough Lane. This is the AFC Women and Fan Show. We've got plenty more coming up.
Love Sport.
It's the AFC Wimbledon and Fans Show here on Love Sport, the station giving fans a voice, and where you can take the stress out of managing your van insurance with Churchill. Our comprehensive policies offer you peace of mind. 24-hour accident recovery, £500 cover for loss or damaged audio equipment, plus guaranteed repairs for 5 years. Visit the van page at churchill.com. Churchill is underwritten by UK Insurance Limited, and Churchill Van is arranged and administered by Brightside Insurance Services Limited.
This is Love Sport.
Okay, this is the AFC Women and Fans Show, and Kevin Boris and George Jones are both at the Batsford Arms as things stand at the Plough Lane liftoff event. It's been quite eventful already. We're going to go back to Kevin Boris now. Kevin, what have you got for us?
Matt, it is getting busy here. You can hear in the background lots of noise, lots of music, lots of food being eaten, drinks being drunk. We're having a nice time celebrating the success of the Plough Lane Bond. I've been joined by two of the Don's most well-known fans, Mark Jones and Chris Phillips. Mark, let's start with you. Mark, what does it mean to you as a fan who's been going as long as I have that we're going back to Plough Lane and we've pretty much done it largely with fan power?
I've just been talking to Joe Palmer, the CEO, and sort of saying to him, not only can I not quite get my head around the fact that we're going home and that we're going back to Plough Lane, but the bit that's twisting my brain the most is when I see like visuals and the actual stand going up. Yeah. And I've just said to him, because it's something that I don't think people quite grasp. We've got so many fans who never saw us play at Plough Lane. And, you know, and I adored the place. You know, and if you said you've got another half hour to live on the planet and you can spend it any bit of your life, it would probably be at the Everton game when we won 3-1 at Plough Lane. I'd be like, just put me there. Yep. Bit of protest. Big club that we weren't supposed to beat that we ended up beating.
33 years ago next week.
Yeah, Peter Reid's dyed hair, Bobby Robson on the top of the south stand doing the commentary, all those sort of things. Yep. But what I said to him is, the bit that he probably doesn't realise is that we've never had a stadium like that. We've never had a good stadium. No. We've never had a stadium that excites you just to look at it, you know. And as I say, you don't need to test whether I love to play our lane or not, but nobody would have stuck a picture of it on their wall at the time, would they? No. I mean, now you look back on it with reverence, but at the time it was just kind of like a bit of a concrete set of steps and a couple of decent pubs, you know, and a bunch of good mates there. So that bit of it to me is even more incredible and more kind of makes me sort of take a step back and gasp than the fact that we've managed to get home. Because if we're honest, I think, as unspectacular as it's been all the way through when we've done stuff, and we were talking about this earlier on, you know, because it's been in increments and we've gone, well, you know, well, the club got taken away, so we started another one, and then we got promoted, and then we got another one, and then we beat West Ham in the FA Cup, and it's kind of like, I've said this to other people, and you say it to Wimbledon fans about thinking there's an edge to what you're saying, it's what we do, man. You know, it's like you put stuff in front of us and we knock it over and we carry on. Yep. And so in increments, it's not quite that fantastic until you step away from it. I've got two sons that are both now Wimbledon fans. One went to Selhurst. The other one wasn't born until AFC Wimbledon. You know, he was born after AFC Wimbledon started. And, you know, thankfully, they're big, massive Wimbledon fans. Not that they had a choice. You know, they'd be homeless if they weren't. But the youngest, who's 14, it's absolutely blowing his mind. You know, he can't get his brain around it because although I'm talking about our Plough Lane wasn't that impressive, there ain't no one's going to tell you that King's Meadow's brilliant, even though we've made it as comfortable as we could and done as much as we sort of felt we needed to before getting stuck there forever. He just cannot get his brain round being able to walk past and seeing a stadium as big as it looks at the moment and kind of like, is that ours? Like, do we own it? Are we going to be there for our home games, you know? So it's a very long answer. I'm not particularly taken aback that we managed to do it because I have belief and I've just seen us do incredible stuff from day one.
I've said all along that we make the impossible possible, and it's kind of a cliche, and I've clichéd myself, but it's true. We've done it for many, many years, haven't we?
Yeah, when you're in the middle of something like that, you kind of like just go along with it. And I think, again, we were talking about this earlier on, I think we're starting to probably get a team that join in with that thinking.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing with Eric Dyer running through the crowd and going potty, and people saying about the chasm between players and fans. I'm not sure in clubs like that there really was much of a connection. But for ours, it was always sort of self-serving. You know, the team played a particular way. We buzzed off that, and it kind of like was like a circle of righteousness, as it were.
Yeah.
And I think we're now getting, you know, you get Joe Piggott's not exactly the most sort of exuberant, crazed man, is he? You know, he's no John Fashanu, but to hear him saying things like what the fans are up to is amazing. You know, Terrell's saying it. They don't play like those old players, but to hear them recognise that they're playing in front of a very special bunch of fans, I think means something. And I hope, given especially with last year with what Wally achieved, you know, they started to get a little bit of taste of this is what we are, this is what we do.
Yeah.
You know, if we can go back to Plough Lane all on the same page, it's going to be something pretty special.
Well, it's what we used to be and what we're used to seeing, and it's what we looks like we're going to be seeing again. So, Chris Phillips, thank you again for joining us. Still there, thank you. So, Chris, you actually predate myself and Mark. You started going to the Wimbledon in the mid-70s. So what does it mean to you to go back to Plough Lane? That's where you went your first ever football match was at Plough Lane.
And now More or less.
And now we're going back. As for fans that don't know, Chris was the match day announcer at Selhurst Park for many, many years, and of course at King's Meadow to begin with. So what does it mean to you?
I mean, home is where the heart is. And for me, although I live in North London now, bizarrely, but you never ever quite leave your roots behind. It's always there. And even though there's a sort of ghost of my family and my dad's passed on, my granddad's passed on, my dad was once asked to be the club doctor. He used to have a doctor's surgery on the corner of Aboyne Road and Garrett Lane. My granddad used to live in French Court Road in Ellsfield. So we used to do Plough Lane on a regular basis. But, you know, like a lot of fans in the 70s, you kind of do the triangle between Chelsea, Fulham and Wimbledon. But vivid memories of mid-70s against, you know, Middlesbrough in the FA Cup. Very vague memories of any club that we actually played, because I was, you know, 9, 10, 11 years old at the time. It's too far ago. I don't even remember what happened like 3 months ago, let alone all that. But to me, you know, getting to that place where we've got the stadium, I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to be in tears, because it's linked to so many kind of childhood memories, indelible memories of, you know, growing up in the area, being rooted in that area, SW17, SW19, SW18. It's, for me, it's the most important thing ever to have an actual place that you can call home. And I think it will change the dynamic of the club, in that any player that comes after that is only going to come at the beginning. We're going to get to that point, it's just going to be the beginning again. And what we've done down the years, this is a club with the greatest story ever told. I mean, the rise, the fall and the rise again of AFC Wimbledon. To be able to go past and see all those flats that now sit on what used to be Plough Lane, and know that literally a couple of hundred yards away we've got a new stadium, it's unfathomable, really. I mean, it's a miracle that we've managed to pull that off. But like Mark, you know, I had kind of faith. I mean, I stood next to Mark outside the FA in 2002 when they announced that the club was going to that city up there, or that town up in Buckinghamshire. And I remember vividly Mark just turning around and saying, we're going to start a club. And I thought at first it was a mad idea, but look what's come of it. Look what's come of it. I mean, some of us were there on Wimbledon Common, right, Mark, where we put down the cones for the first trials, and we were literally hands-on to that level. And to get to this point, I mean, yes, we've played Liverpool and West Ham at ours that we've got now at King's Meadow, but this is going to be something different. You know, so it's going to be a really emotional thing. And to be able to root down in the almost original spot is quite unfathomable. But I don't think it's going to settle in for me until several months, maybe even 10 or 15 matches after. You know, it's a bit like my mum used to do all the work for Christmas and never really enjoyed it, because we were enjoying it too much. She only really enjoyed it after, you know, when she could relax. I think it's going to be a feeling of that, really. We're going to enjoy it a little bit later down the line when we can look around ourselves and take stock. We got to this place. Amazing.
Excellent. No, for me, I mentioned in an earlier interview that a friend of mine who was interested in investing or buying a bond, not a football fan, didn't really know the story, I sent him Marcus Mumford's video, and he said,
There's no need for that.
No, I'm sorry. And he cried. He said, I can't not invest in this story. I kind of told him the story. He wasn't particularly interested. He said, the whole thing just sounds ridiculous. The fact that you've achieved this is madness in the current financial climate. The fact that we've made the impossible possible again. So okay, I'll ask a stupid, dumbing down question. Who do you want in the first game of Power Rangers? Not the friendly.
Well, I don't think we're going to be able to have a friendly, because as far as I'm aware, I think we've got three away games next season and then we'll play. That's the plan at the moment, and that's on schedule.
Yeah.
And so we can't sit there and do that fantasy. Would you play if you said you could pick anybody?
That's what I mean.
Right. In terms of a game, and it isn't a league match, I'd go for Union Berlin, because I just think their story is very similar to ours, but they also have a dynamic that we don't. In that we're kind of radical by accident. It's like we kind of formed a people's party to seize control of the state and overthrow the oppressor because we had to. You know, it was B&Q. Or start a football club, and I think secretly we, like, as Chris said, you know, like, I think as we go on 5 or 6 games in, you know, like, you know, I was on the board, I've been on the Don's Trust board, I found it a very frustrating experience, if I'm honest, because things kind of like were a bit more procedural and a little bit sort of, and I don't mean that I expect us to not have that, but I think we don't have that kind of radical edge in terms of the way we approach stuff. Because I don't think we are radical fans. I don't think we ever really were. I think we're quite sedate and quite boring, if I'm honest. You know, that's why it takes time to get matches going.
Yeah.
If we were to play a team like, I mean, I went to the pre-season in Germany. Those guys are off their head, man. You know, like,
they were. They were.
I mean, that double denim football patch scene is different gravy, mate. You know,
Offenbach is not the place for fashion.
I took my 14-year-old son to the post-match fans bar. And allowed him to hold a couple of bottles of beer for some photos that his mum saw. But it blew his mind. I mean, just to see fans that are that up for it, you know, in a pre-season game. So someone like that would give it a proper, tangible atmosphere. Yeah. I'm sure it'd be brilliant whoever we play. As far as league games, don't care, bring it on. You know, we're going to play everybody there eventually.
Yeah.
That's the other bit. We're going to be there forever.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
You know, like...
It's our forever home, like they say for dogs.
We've not really even had that. We didn't have it with Flower Lane, so he was always worried about the Taylor report and stuff, which of course was a bit of a hijacked scenario from Sam. You know, we have to move out because of it. But we all knew that ground was increasingly becoming less fit for purpose. We're going to go into one that is brand new, completely fit for purpose, and we're staying there forever, especially if we're fan-owned. I mean, we're not going to sell it, are we?
Well, let's hope not. So, Matt, as you can hear, the enthusiasm is thick on the ground here. Chris, Mark, thanks very much, and we'll see you in the new stadium very soon. Cheers.
Well, Kevin, it absolutely sounds it as well. Kevin doing a fine job for us today. But what I'm going to say is that he's spoken to Xavier Wiggins and Damian Woodward. Great. He's spoken to a whole load of the guys from the Don's Trust. Brilliant. He's spoken to the founders, of course, Chris Phillips, Mark Jacobs there as well. Now, Kevin, what I want from you is a player. Go find me a player. I'm expecting that next on the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport.
Love Sport.
AFC Wimbledon Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by the guys from the 9 Years podcast, Kevin Boris and George Jones, but not in the studio. No, they are at the Batsford Arms on the Plough Lane Bond liftoff event. Wonderful scene so far from Kevin Boris. I did ask him for a player before the ads, and you'll never guess what. He's come up trumps and produced the goods. Kevin, who have you got?
Thanks, Matt. As you can hear now, the noise is getting more and more and more. People are drinking and eating. We're having a great time. And I've been joined by Don's midfielder, Anthony Hartigan. Anthony, thanks for your time.
No worries. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Now, what does it mean for you as a player that we're playing... OK, it is Kings Meadow is our ground, but it's not in Wimbledon, it's not in Merton. You sort of mix with fans, you know a lot of the supporters. What does it mean for you as a player to go back to Plough Lane... For us, as a fans club, it must mean a lot more to you than if you were playing for Spurs or Chelsea or another.
Yeah, obviously, because I've come through the academy system, I know what it means to everyone at the club. It's been a long time coming, but everyone's worked really hard and come together to get it, make it happen, basically. Obviously, it's not long now, so we're just looking forward to it, looking to finish the season strong and then go into the new season at Plough Lane.
Do the players talk about... Not necessarily the bond, but going to Plough Lane. Obviously, all of you are far too young to even remember Plough Lane. You've not been there for 29 years. You've only just turned 20. Most of the first team squad are in their mid-20s. But it means something to you. You can tell that it means something to them. The players are mentioning it
on social media. Joe Piggott's mentioned it, Anthony Scott Wagstaff's mentioned it. But it's a thing. Do you talk about it in the dressing room or training?
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
How close it is?
Yeah, it's obviously something we're all aware of fully because we're... Sorry. Yeah, we all talk about it. We're all excited for it to happen because we know how much it means to the fans and everyone at the club. So it's more of the fact as players, it's more of like a privilege to play for the club and be part of this story, but more for the fans, like they know what's happened and been there the whole way, so it's more for them rather than us. Yeah. But it'd be good.
So what it mean to you as a Wimbledon player, you've been with the club since you were 14, to walk out first home game at the new stadium, full crowd, what will it mean to you as a person, not just a player?
Yeah, I'll be really excited. It's something I'll be looking forward to because obviously, like I said, I've been here for 6 years now, so it's been a long time, and I'm fully aware of the story. And coming through the academy, they make you aware of it. So I know how much it's going to mean to everyone when that day does happen. So it'll be a good day.
Your dad is kind of a very vocal fan of yours. He's sort of a very popular chap on Facebook. What's it going to mean to him seeing his son being one of the first players to walk out of the new Plough Lane? That must be, sorry, new Plough Lane, I can't say that. The new stadium at Plough Lane. What will it mean for your dad?
Yeah, obviously, he's probably more excited than anyone else because, like you say, I'm his son. He's been watching me since I was a little kid, so that'll probably be the biggest day of my career, like that, when that day happens. So just be a good day for everyone.
Great. Well, Anthony, I look forward to probably the first week of September, seeing you walk out with an under 8 shirt on your back, nice new kit, first home game at the new stadium at Plough Lane. I can't wait. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Matt, back to you. We have a player. We've got, hopefully, Glyn Hodges shortly. And there is a celebrity from the boxing world who is coming to this event. I'm hoping to get him later on. I can't tell you who it is, but you'll know him. Cheers, Matt.
Hang on a second. A celebrity from the boxing. What is going on here? Kevin Boras is certainly doing a job indeed. Sadly, I don't think we're going to have time, Kevin, because we've got about 4 minutes left of the show. Perhaps we can get him into the studio. Can't wait to hear who it is, by the way. Who the hell is down at the Batsford Arms in terms of boxing? Who knew there was boxing royalty as AFC Wimbledon fans, just as Glyn Hodges and Anthony Hartigan, we just heard from there. Of course, Will Nightingale are taking the stage, talking about Plough Lane. The excitement is now building. It's been a fantastic event over there at the Batsford Arms. Kevin, you've done a great job, mate. In fact, we'll go back to Kevin now just to get his final thoughts and reactions from the evening. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Matt. I can tell you who the boxer was because he came in, stayed for 30 seconds, turned around and left.
Oh, was he not impressed?
Apparently not. It was Dillian White.
Was it really?
Dillian White is a local resident and he comes in here quite a bit. Apparently he came in, a bit too many people for him, and he turned around and left. So he was here briefly.
Okay, fair play. I imagine, he's in training, isn't he? Big fight against Alexander Povetkin. So maybe he thought, you know what, I can't be dealing with this. And I understand that from a psychological perspective. But nonetheless, mate, you've been in great company this evening. And mate, you've done a great job too. Let's just, go through the guys you've spoken to. It's been a good evening for you.
It's been good fun. I mean, we must also mention Richard, the owner of Tunnel 267/ The Batsford Arms, who has given the supporters this lovely venue for the entire evening entirely free of charge. He's not charged a single penny. So just want to, I know we shouldn't be doing advertising, but it's a great gesture for Richard to do. He's a lifelong Dons fan, and he said it was his pleasure to give the Bond and its followers the venue for the evening. So Richard, thank you very much indeed for having us. It's nice to catch up with Anthony Hartigan. And listen, I know him and his dad are not sort of lifelong Dons fans, but he's a one of the players that we've had our eye on since he came at 14. Apparently he was, he's a fantastic player. We've just, unfortunately, had to sell one of our under-15s to Chelsea today. And it's nice to see one of those kind of players at that level staying with us all that time. Great to catch up with the community guys as well, with Andy May and Hannah Billingham from the ladies' team, Kevin Foster, the ladies' manager. It's really interesting to see just how much it means to them. When you think that Hannah and Kevin don't have connections going back 40 years like I do, they're really, really invested in it. And Graham Stacey, Don's Trust board member, lifelong fan, nice to hear from him too. Mark Jones and Chris Phillips are well-known figures around this club, and they are massively enthused. This is the most enthused I've seen these people since we formed the club 18 years ago.
It's
great to see. It really is good to see. It's been a great evening.
It has really sounded like it, mate. Thank you for taking the time to do what you've done for us. And just to confirm, I heard you say in that previous interview there with Anthony Hartigan that it's not, we mustn't refer to this as Plough Lane. Is that right? It's the new stadium at Plough Lane. Is that correct?
Mustn't refer to it as new Plough Lane.
Right.
Do not use the phrase new Plough Lane. Several people will get very, very, very upset with you. So it's the phrase, you can say the new stadium at Plough Lane or the stadium or just Plough Lane. Do not use new Plough Lane. I have done so and have been told off myself. So it's just a tip.
Right, okay.
Basically.
Noted.
And if we're going to talk about Saturday's game, I'm going for a 2-1 win.
I was going to say to you, mate, yeah, very quickly, a quick prediction from you both.
I'm going to 2-1 win for us.
Lovely.
Happily say that. George, are you there? George isn't there. George, what do you reckon the score's going to be?
I think it should be a tight game, but I think we'll get a 2-1 win.
He agreed with me. Look at that.
Love we go.
So we're there. So thank you for letting us do this. It's been a great evening. We've enjoyed it. Old friends and new players, managers. Terry Brown, our former manager, was here. Peter Fear, one of our favourite players from the late 90s, was here too. It's been a great day. So thank you.
Kevin, thank you very much. George Jones, thank you very much. Great event this evening at the Batsford Arms there. Like you said, the landlord decided to put it on free for them. We are the resurrection. Great banners that you can see there on Twitter at the moment. Glyn Hodges up on stage just talking about Plough Lane and his memories from that time. Of course, AFC Wimbledon getting a great result last weekend against Gillingham. Another great result we are hoping for on Saturday, of course. Bolton Wanderers, AFC Wimbledon lifting themselves 8 points clear now of that relegation zone. Surely they can extend it against the Trotters. This has been the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show for another week. We'll be back next week, same time, same place here on Love Sport, 10 p.m. every Thursday night. We will see you then. Wombles of Wimbledon, common are we, making good use of the things that we find, things that the everyday folks leave behind. Uncle Bulgaria, we can remember. Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.